So, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. Holy Spirit, let this be beneficial for us today. Teach us today. We know you want to. So, our second study now on having a good eye, okay? And our key verse is Matthew 6, verse 22. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. These are the words of Jesus. This is noteworthy to study out. So the first thing we said that we want to study is what is the biblical definition of the word good? Because I believe this is a key part of this verse. And we're going to dissect this verse as we go along bit by bit. But we're going to start first by examining what does the Bible say about the word good. See, it was translated in the Old Testament from Hebrew to English, and in the New Testament from Greek to English. So we want to go back, and we did, in your notes, I went back in the Old Testament to the original Hebrew, and now today we're going to go back to the original word in the Greek. We're going to look at the New Testament, okay? And we said, under part one there, the biblical definition of the word good, that these are the attributes of God. This is a quality and character of God when we look at the word good, because who is good? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is only one who is good, and that is God. We might get to that verse today. That's a real... Actually, we are going to get to that verse. That's the first one on our list. And I was really blessed today when I was studying that, and I know the Lord will bless us as we study it together. But these are the attributes of God that He desires in us, that actually He has imparted to us through who? Through Jesus, His Son, through Christ Jesus, His Son. The attributes of God have been imparted into us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's look at the New Testament. There are 10 Greek words that translate into the English word good. Okay, now I must tell you, as I was rereading this today, as much as I checked the syllabus before I printed it, I found some errors. Okay, so your first scripture reference there is Matthew. But it should be Matthew 19:17.
Okay.
So if you've looked in Matthew 19:7, I apologize now for causing you that anguish, because that didn't make sense.
No, it didn't.
If you looked there. So it's...
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. I read it again today, and it was totally off the subject, wasn't it?
I'm talking about divorce.
Exactly. Matthew 19:17.
Oh, Carolyn, she was just testing to see if we were next.
If you were really looking these verses up. And you know, I really want to encourage you, as you can in your quiet time with whatever you're reading with the Lord. I know you have your own private place where you're reading and meditating with the Lord. But I want to encourage you to go back through these, because we're just going to scratch the surface. We don't have time to really go into depth, because we would be on this teaching for... You know, sometimes you can get so bogged down, you really lose your focus of what you're trying to learn. Okay, so having said that, let me move on. Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. I put you a little quote of the scripture, a part of the scripture in there, to just highlight the word good. None is good but God. That word good there means benefit. So you could say, no one benefits you but God. Or God is the benefactor of your life. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Isn't that beautiful? That is beautiful. God is the only one that can benefit anyone's life. Okay? He is the benefit. He's the giver. God is good. God is a benefit. Okay, what's the psalmist say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this that is within me, bless His holy name. And do not forget the Lord's
benefits.
Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's get into this. Let's go back to verse 16. Now, this is categorized in my scripture as a rich man. Note, we are not talking or studying here about, this is not about rich people. Some folks get carried up in this passage and they focus on rich people. This is not about rich people. This is about something deeper. And I was blessed today when the Lord, this morning when the Lord showed me this in a different way. Someone came to Jesus with this question, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus replied, Why ask me about what is good? Jesus turns around and asks him a question. Why are you asking me about what is good? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Now, some translations, the original, one of the original manuscripts there, in that verse 17, says, continue to keep them. So the implication here is that this young man was keeping the commandments. You understand that? Mm-hmm. Jesus knew that. Jesus said, if you want to receive eternal life, continue to keep the commandments. Because that was the way the Lord had told them that they would have eternal life, to honor his commandments, right? Absolutely. Which ones? The man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. I've obeyed all these commandments, the young man replied. What else must I do? Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, I love Jesus' response. Are you wanting to go a little deeper here? This is just my translation. Are you wanting to go a little deeper, young man? Now you're going to find out when I define some of these words for us today. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Remember, this is not about being rich or being poor. Let's look at what Jesus is really talking about here. Okay, let's back up. Verse 17, when Jesus said, now this is how his Holy Spirit ministered it to me today. Let him minister to you this word. Why ask me about what is good? Okay, this young man comes to Jesus and says, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, why ask me about what is good? I believe this could be another way of Jesus saying, what is your motive here? Mm-hmm. Why are you coming here and asking me about what is good? Now, why do I say that to you? I say that to you, church, because he already kept all the commandments. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Which means he also knows what the law says.
He knew. Mm-hmm. So he was after something a little deeper. Mm-hmm. A little deeper from Christ. What's your motive? What are you really asking me? Is what I believe. This is what I believe Jesus was getting at, because Jesus really got to the root of something. Ready? Let's go. There is only one who is good, and you know this. Jesus said, he didn't say that, but Jesus said there is only one that is good, and this young man knew that. But to answer your question, to answer why you're really here asking me, what else must I do? If you want to receive eternal life, keep on keeping the commandments. He already was doing it. That's what the keep the commandments mean. Keep on keeping. Do what you're doing, young man. Okay? In other words, Jesus never denied that he was not going to have eternal life. Okay? Which ones? The man asked. See, he was trying to get something a little deeper. See, I believe this young man was trying to go deeper with God. I really do. I believe he was trying to go deeper with God. Is there one Lord that really touches your heart, really big and really strong, Lord? Now I'll tell you why I believe this, and the scripture confirms it. Let's keep on going. And Jesus replied, well, you know, you must not murder, you must not commit adultery. Jesus didn't, he said, don't steal, do not testify falsely, honor your father and your mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else must I do? See, he was seeking something a little deeper from God. It's almost like he was saying, what else do I need to do to get God's approval? What else do I need to get God's approval in my life? So Jesus said, okay, If you want to be perfect, if that's what you're asking me, you're trying to go a little deeper. If you want to be perfect, this is what you've got to do. You've got to go sell all your possessions. You've got to give the money to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Now, if you take this key in verse and you do the same thing Jesus told this young man to do, you might be very disappointed and broken life. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what Jesus told this young man to do. Should we give to the poor? Yes. But this was this instruction to this young man, okay? God told Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times and to blow the trumpets, and the walls imploded and came in. That might not be the strategy that God wants you to use. This is what God told this young man. Let's see what this young man was after. Okay, this was fresh bread today, church. So I went and looked up the word perfect. Okay, you ready for this? It's number, and if you want to look it up in the Strong's Concordance, I'm going to give you the definition. It's number 5046 in the New Testament, in the Greek. Number 5046. I know some of you have your hands raised. I can feel your wheels are turning inside of you. Just bear with me, okay? Okay? The word perfect, Jesus says, I go back to verse 21 now. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. What was Jesus after? Jesus was after this young man following him. Could he have wanted to make him one of his disciples? He was after this young man following him. To grow deeper in your faith, young man, you got to do this. Because how can you take care of all this over here and follow me? That's what he had to do. God might tell you something deeper, something different than this to grow in your faith, to grow stronger. What is the one thing in your life? You've got to have to ask yourself this one question. What is the one thing in our life that keeps us from going deep? What is the one thing that we struggle with the most in our faith to believe and to trust God for? What is the one thing that keeps us from going a little deeper and deeper in our commitment to God that we just can't let go of? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's my children. It's my children. Okay? God, I trust you doing this in their life, but God, I don't see anything right now. You understand what I'm saying? That's just me. That's my personal, my family. Because that's what's very close to my heart. If you could define me in one word, it is my commitment to my family. That's why I'm committed to you. I consider you my family. Okay? I have a strong commitment to my family. I was raised that way. I was raised that way with commitment and a dedication to. I have that commitment and dedication to Dean's mom. She's gone on to be with the Lord Jesus. And I am so dedicated and still committed to her life that I want to see her life be honored, even her absence from this earth. I want to see everything that is about her life be honored, because her life was not in vain here on this earth. That was just a side note. Okay, so to grow deeper in your commitment to God, what is the Lord going to ask you? What is he going to ask of you? What is he going to ask of me? The young man was sad, verse 22 says. Why was he sad? It wasn't just because he had to give up his possessions. It does say he had many possessions, but that was the one thing God asked him to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was not willing to sacrifice his desire for Christ's desire. Are you getting me? He was not willing to sacrifice what he really wanted, his desire, to leave it, abandon it, and follow Christ. Okay. The word perfect. I told you I would get to that, and I'm finally going to get to it. Might take me a while to keep my promise, but eventually I'll keep it. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, the word perfect, if you want to be complete, here's your definition. Complete, and then put a little parenthesis there, because it means complete in various ways. You don't have to necessarily write in various ways. But complete in labor. In growth. I'm going to repeat it, so if you didn't get it the first time, it's okay. In mental and moral character. To be complete in labor. Remember, the man said, what else must I do? There's got to be something else I got to do, Lord. You see, Jesus is saying, no, there's nothing else. You know, you've kept all my commandments. There's not one that's higher above the other. To be complete in labor, growth. See, that's why I say Jesus was after something deeper. He was after spiritual growth and commitment from this young man. Growth, mental and moral character. Jesus is saying, you want to be perfect? Are you asking me how to be perfect in moral character, young man? Are you asking me how to be complete? Are you asking me how to grow in God? And then it also, which really just really is a cream on the crop for me. Okay, let me go back because I'm a teacher. I want to make sure you got it all. To be complete, put your little bracket, in labor, in growth, in mental and moral character. Then put your little bracket there. Okay, that's these areas that me is talking about being complete. Okay, are you ready for the next one? It says completeness of full age. Of full age, comma, man. Young man, you want to really grow up here? Ooh, glory to God. Young woman, you want to really grow up? You want to really reach full age in Christ? Oh my, don't come undone, please, church. Do not come undone. I'll come undone for you. Jesus is saying, do you really want to be a full man? Do you really want to come into sonship? That's why Christ came, that we could come into sonship. We could take on the family business. Remember the Jews, how they trained their son? The Bar mitzvah. Okay, well, the young man would come into full age to take on what? The family business. He was a child. He was an heir to everything. But if he didn't submit to his teacher, the tutor, the one the father had assigned to him, he would never come into sonship and he would never get the family business. Jesus is saying to this young man, you want to be perfect? You want to go a little deeper? You want to come into full age? You want to be a man? Do this. Okay. This comes into our blessing. How many of you want to be a full man, a complete man? Oh, you better... You better make sure now. I do. And you know what? I thank God that I have a teacher to help me. Okay, this comes into our blessing. Come right over to James. James chapter 3. Remember we talked about who is the foundation? Jesus. And how do we build on the foundation? By obeying His word. Every time we learn from His word, it becomes a building material, and we can build on the foundation when we obey. Are we building on the foundation when we read the word of God? No. Building requires action. Remember we said last week the building material can lay on the property, but until someone picks it up and starts doing something with it, no structure is going to be formed. Jesus is the foundation. When we obey His word, we're building on Him. Okay, so this is how. This is one of the ways we can become this perfect man, this full. I want to be full age. How about you? When Jesus comes back, I don't want to still be sucking on milk. Mm-hmm. I want to be full age. Okay, I set you up now. This is your blessing this week. James chapter 3. Oh, controlling the tongue. Oh, controlling the tongue. Dear brothers and sisters, many of you should not become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's why you should pray for your teachers. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, a full man. That's that same word, saints. If we could control our tongues, let's see now, what's our definition? If we could control our tongues, we would be complete and late in our work, in our spiritual growth, in our mental and moral character. You mean to tell me people that can't control their tongues aren't very healthy mentally? Oh, hello. Hello. You show me a mentally sound person, I'll show you a person who knows how to control their tongue.
Well,
I'm a mentally sound person, I'll show you a quiet person.
Mm-hmm. It's like the saying says, make everyone think that you're not ignorant. Don't open your mouth and remove all the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. probably give you 2 years more time.
Indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we control our tongues, we will be complete in labor, in growth, in mental and moral character. We will be of full age and we'll be a man, a spiritually mature man. You want to show me a spiritually mature saint? I'll show you a person who controls their tongue. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we can control our tongues, we'll be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Mm-hmm. What? If you have self-control over your tongue, you've got self-control in every other area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a blessing, so I'm going to go ahead and release this blessing so we can get back on our studies, okay? Father, your word is you speaking to us, and you are the blesser of our life, Father. So, Father, as we pray this word over ourselves, and as we meditate on this word, Father, by me speaking it, I bless myself, and I bless this congregation, Lord, and I bless the body of Christ, Lord. Brothers and sisters, we all make mistakes, but if we control our tongues, we will be perfect, and we will be able to control every other area of our life. Amen. Okay, and Father, we want that. We want that, Lord. We want to be perfect, and we receive your power to control our tongue. Amen. Now, I know that verse probably not make you shout very much this week, but I believe that's the blessing the Lord gave us. That, Lord, we are, because of you, Christ, and because of your life in us, Lord, we have your perfection in us, and we have you, Holy Spirit, to help us. Holy Spirit, stand guard over our mouth. Stand settled. Watch over our mouth. When we start to speak it, or even the words start to be framed in our mind, Holy Spirit, check us. Check us. And help us, Holy Spirit, to be quiet when we need to be quiet, Father. Because we don't know everything, Lord. Help us only to speak your word and speak your truth. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, in this scripture reference, Matthew 19:17, we see there is only one that is good, that is God. Jesus says this. God is the only benefit or beneficiary of our life. Amen? Okay, was that good? Did that help? Was that helpful? I thought that was helpful. That blessed me this morning reading about that young man. It really blessed me. Okay. Ma'am?
Ask this question and put it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
With this young man, because of his religious teaching and upbringing, could it be where in there they was teaching him that he had to do more than the law said? What the law said. And he just figured that it has to be, I have to work for something to get to where I can be perfect in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as far as the business side goes, remember now, Jesus called the disciples, Peter and all those, and they were in the Father's business, and they left.
That's right.
Not thinking that, hey, I'm rich. I don't have to.
Wow. They gave no thought to it, did
they? They did not. But this young man, it's like, okay.
Sad.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff, a lot of rich stuff that I'm holding on to. And if I give it up, I won't be rich no more. I'll be poor. But God told us you'll have the poor with you always.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing is this, that poor could be poor in spirit, poor in the way we treat one another.
Mm-hmm.
Not just necessarily poor without money or whatever, but poor spiritually.
Have a need.
So he had this need, but he didn't see it the way Peter and those saw it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And Jesus, you know, he didn't need to do anything else. He just needed to follow the Lord. Tammy, you had a thought?
Well, let's piggyback off of what she was saying.
Okay.
That
Which verifies that it's the heart thing, mm-hmm. because Jesus called those whose heart was already there. Mm-hmm. Because once he called, followed him, dropped mm-hmm. it, and followed.
Wow.
This man, he asked. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he asked the motive. Mm-hmm. What is your motive? Because mm-hmm. he knew his heart. Mm-hmm. You're not there yet. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Not that you can't get there. You will get there, but your heart is not there yet.
Mm.
So, really, what are you asking me?
Yeah.
And now he has to, he can go and ponder on how to become perfect.
That's right.
Get mm-hmm. to that place.
That's true. And we mm-hmm. don't know that he did never end up mm-hmm. selling everything he had.
Mm-hmm. And what, Kathy, the thing is, you know, we all need Jesus. And he was rich. And the thing that rich people cannot accept is their need for something. They think they have everything. And they miss out on really what they need. Thinking they don't need nothing. Mm. So they don't need, you know, I don't need Christ, you know, because I got everything I need, because we're basing everything on the worldly instead of the spiritual is what this rich man was doing. He was basing everything on the world. I got everything I need, you know. So why? And then that's when Jesus told him, you sell everything you got and give it to the poor. He didn't want to take away that security he thought he had in money. So the need, he wouldn't accept the need that he needed Jesus.
Ma'am?
But I think it's like a testing of our faith. I think it was like Abraham. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, but because he was willing to go through it, Jesus provided the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if this young man had been willing to give up his goods, maybe he wouldn't have had to in the first place. It was the willingness, maybe, that the Father's looking for, the state of mind.
That's the thought. You know? That's the thought. Anyone else?
Yeah. My thoughts is that he was a very rich man. You have earthly riches and you have heavenly riches. Mm. What he was seeking now is the heavenly riches that Jesus have. But Jesus tell him to get the heavenly riches that I have. Remember when Jesus asked him everything, he said, I've done that already. Mm-hmm. I've done that already. So now, to get the heavenly riches and to be perfect with God, he has to give up the earthly riches. And he was too wealthy to do that, so he didn't want to leave it.
Mm. Yeah.
The biggest thing is, Kathy, is how we teach it.
Ma'am?
Remember you said the pray for our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
His teachers taught him these things. He learned these things.
That's true.
But his spirit man wasn't there. It's a heart thing. It's an attitude.
I got you.
And all the things he was saying, he was basing everything on the law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, I did this, I did this. He didn't think about the sacrifice is what you need to accomplish, you know, to have everything you need
to lay down.
Sacrifice. To
lay down your desires for his desires. Connor?
Yeah. Very much that revelation is good. But I also go back to that other revelation that the Lord gave me all those years back when we were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we've said before, because this revelation is good, but also this other one, how the Lord shows us so many things in just one passage.
Mm-hmm.
But what he had shown me all those years back with this, because I kept questioning God on this same matter. Mm-hmm. And he said, what else? And he says, there's one thing you lack.
Mm-hmm.
You can have everything. And when it comes to the poor, what are you doing? Mm. You are being merciful. That's what the Lord, the Holy Spirit had shown me that morning. He said the one thing he lacked was showing mercy.
Mm.
Because when you sell everything and you give it to the poor, what action are you doing and showing? You are being merciful. He said that, and then follow me in this now. That as you have wealth and riches, always remember you are doing the commandments. He was Jewish. It was what they were supposed to do. The young man was doing what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to follow the law. And Jesus was saying, that's what he showed me at that time. He said, you're obeying what your parents taught you to do. You're obeying even one of that commandment itself, that your parents taught you to do this. You have attained wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. But within that wealth, you're supposed to help the poor. That's the one thing that you're lacking, is mercy. And you can obey the law all you want, but it and it is right to do that, but if you're not having mercy, it does you no good. It's right. Law and mercy.
That's right. That's right.
It's law and mercy. Amen. And so in this, continue to follow me in this pattern, because if you give God everything you've got, it would be one-sided. God has to, according to his word. Now, God doesn't have to, but proven the word. God has to give the young man back everything. You can't give God everything and God not give it back. That's not scripture. God, the little boy with the lunch. Take up every piece. You have to take up every piece. Go back and read that. And they gathered back up 12 basketfuls. Why? Because he was going to go home and say, Mama, look, you gave me lunch. Look what I brought back home. You can't give God everything and him not give it back to you, because then you outgave God if it's apples to apples. The amount that I've got in any kind of wealth and stuff, if I gave every bit of it to God, his apples, my apples, I gave more than God did.
Can't be God.
And I can't do that. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm saying scripturally. That's what God showed me, was that he lacked being merciful. Sell your stuff and give it to the poor. What he didn't understand was he was going to get that back through business. He was going to get it back.
Yeah, but you never know that.
Yes. And then he said, follow me after this pattern. But I do love that revelation too, because that's a good revelation this morning. What are you holding back? What are you holding back that God says, let it go. Give it to me. Follow this pattern.
Jesus. Well, God already made us a promise, going back to what Carmen said. He told us in Malachi, try me and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing.
What window in your life are you keeping closed because you won't listen and obey me? What are you lacking in? I've opened up other windows, but you keep keeping this one locked. Open it up. I did just preach.
Yes, you did.
Every window. He says that his word, you know, he says, give and it shall be given unto you.
If the Spirit tell me this morning and said, go and give your house.
If the Spirit tells you that.
Yes.
If the Spirit tells you. Not if somebody stands up and tells you to do that.
No. If the Spirit tells you. I have to go back to God to find out if there is the right Spirit I'm hearing.
That's right.
And because then, if the Lord, if I said, Kathy, the Spirit said to give you my house, he going to bless me with more than what I have given to Kathy. Oh. But did I know that unless I go back to the Lord and ask some question of God? We has to do that. Because why? We are in the earthly form, the earthly position, the earthly everything. We are on earth. And we has to. Doubt is in us. Fear in us. What the Lord said, fear not. Doubt not. So now we has to go back.
Amen.
In prayer, I would go back in fasting and prayer to know that it's the right Spirit I'm listening to. Yesterday evening, I was at Sam's, and a man was begging. I have $8 in my hand. I give him $3 out of the $8. And the Spirit said to me, take out back the $5 and take it to him. I took out back the $5. I said, I am so sorry. I have to give you back, give you the $5. Was I obedient? Yes. But that's only $8. Think about your house now. I would have to go back to God with some question. Go back in fasting and prayer. Yeah, I would have to go back. Because I want to be sure. I know he's going to bless me 3 or 4 times more. But I have to be sure.
Right.
And that's what the man wanted, the rich man wanted to do. He want to serve God in a way, but he has to sure what the Lord said. Go give away everything. He couldn't do it because he couldn't give it up.
Amen.
And that's where the doubt come in us. Where the fear come in with us. And the don't know the kind of God that we serve. That's where it come in us. We are human beings.
Amen.
Yes, I'll get to you, Carmen. Yes. You have something to say?
Well, I mean, the question he asked was, what shall I do to have eternal life? And eternal life is the ultimate treasure. So if you give up everything,
yes.
Amen.
That's
he asked the question.
That's good.
Yes. Eternal life. Those things won't matter if you have eternal life. Right. Right?
Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish this and I'm going to go back to my job back there. Because another good example is what Mama said, is mentioned it before about Kenneth Hagin. Years back, like in the 70s, 80s, he gave away a couple of cars from what I remember, but one he gave away, and the Lord blessed him with another car, but he gave it away because God told him to. He said, God will just try. Well, other people at Rhema on campus gave away their cars. Well, they ended up walking. And then they started thinking maybe Hagin wasn't kind of right on his preaching. But he said just what Mama said, exactly what she said. God told me to. Did he tell you to bless somebody with your vehicle? See, they just wanted another nicer, newer car. See, the big difference. And then talks to me about the windows. I had to go real quick to Malachi. Because I said, Lord, does it say you would open up the window of heaven? Or does it say you'll open up the windows? There's more than one window. That's all I got to say.
Oh, right.
In Malachi, it says window.
And he knows which window you need open when
windows.
You need it open.
Yes.
He knows
yes.
which window.
Yes. It says window.
Now you read the rest of this same passage, which we're... I'm just going to key a little bit of it back in Matthew 19 so we can stay on focus. But one thing keeping us back on focus, we're talking about God being good. Lord, that word means benefit. So what the Lord was teaching this young man is I am the benefit in your life. If you sell all these things, I am the one who will bless you.
Yes.
I am the benefit. I am
yes.
good. None is good but God. God will bless you. It's all going back to God being good. God is a beneficiary of our life. When we believe that God is a beneficiary of our life, well, the benefactor, not beneficiary, excuse me, that God is a benefactor or God is benevolent concerning our life, then we can let go of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, if there's an issue that we really don't believe, maybe he thought his blessings was in that he obeyed the commandments and not that God, that's what brought in the blessings and not God himself. That God himself was not the blesser of his life. Okay, just a thought, but let's go here. I'm just going to share a little bit of this. And it all goes back to that God was trying to show him, I'm the benefit. Jesus, if you follow me, I'm the benefit. This is all good. This is all really good. Okay, so here comes Peter. You know, leave it up to Peter to ask questions. Nobody else will ask, right? Okay, keep on going through this passage, okay? Now, Jesus says that about the rich person. So let's just read it because we're in context here. Matthew 19:23, Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven, of God. The disciples were astonished. Then who in the world can be saved, they ask. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Then Peter said to him, we've given up everything to follow you. What will we get?
Oh, my goodness. Come on, Peter.
Okay, come on. Come on. Now, see, this goes along with what you can willing to sacrifice in your life, and you bet you get along with God. You know that God's telling you to give it up. You know that God's telling you to give it up, to give it away. Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that's not going to be Judas. That's going to be the one that replaced Judas, okay? And everyone who has, look at this, everything we've been saying, this wraps it all up. Listen, and everyone who has given up houses, giving away a house, or brothers or sisters, not that you can sell your brothers or sisters, but you have forsaken them and their opinion about what you should do for God and chosen to follow God. Mm-hmm. Or even maybe come out of a faith that they're a part of, that you came out of. Okay? But anyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Well, the 100 times in return, you know, that's got to be, because another translation says here on this earth and in the life to come. Okay, that's got to be for right here, because why are you going to need 100-fold? Why are you going to need 100 times more of property, children, or mother or father, or brothers or sisters, or houses?
In heaven.
Right. Although when Christ sets up his new kingdom, you could very well be in charge of that based on your obedience to Christ. But many who are greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. The greatest in the eyes of people. You know, it reminds me of like blowing your trumpet so everyone can see your good deeds. You know, but what you do in secret, your Father will reward you for openly. Would you rather be rewarded openly here on the earth where people forget all about the good things you did? Or would you rather be rewarded eternally?
Yes.
Well, everything is going to be open to everyone to see, and there'll be no forgetting it there. I'd rather be rewarded eternally. Okay? Okay, let's move on. What time is it, saints?
12:30.
See, we get a lot out of that. We're just going to go, we're not going to finish this, but we just get a lot. We get a lot out of that, okay? John, your next scripture reference there is John chapter 10, 14. That is right. But I also
have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In the Matthew 19:17, where it says that number 18, is that the lookup for?
Yes. Thank you, Shirley, because I explained that last week, and I'm sorry you missed that. But yes, the number 18 there means that it is that number in the Greek.
Okay.
It's number 18 in the Greek. Okay. Now the next word for good we're going to look at is John chapter 10. Put a little note there, verse 11 also, 11 and 14. If someone will read John 10, 11, and if someone else will read John 10, 14.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Okay.
14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine.
Okay, so I'm the good shepherd, verse 11 says, and I give up my life for my sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've sacrificed myself. Look at your definition of good there. Beautiful, chiefly, good, valuable, or virtuous. He is the only good one. He is the only virtuous one that could be the sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it means to be beautiful, chiefly good. To be chiefly good is different than being good. To be chiefly good, it means you're the very head of good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the epitome of good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the very head of good. He's chiefly good. The goodest, if you want to say. That's not proper English, but the goodest.
Goodest.
Okay. And he is valuable, and he is virtuous. I see your hand, Robert. Just bear with me just a moment. Okay, so but I left out some of this definition. It's there in your notes, but I didn't read it. Let's go back. The good shepherd means he's beautiful, he's chiefly good, he's valuable, he's virtuous, for appearance or use. He's virtuous in appearance, but also for use. It's like Christ is saying, use my virtue. When I come and live inside of you, use who I am. Use who I am. Use my attributes. Use my character. Use my beautifulness. Use my goodness. Use my value. Use my virtue. Use it. What good is it to have Christ inside of us and Christ to be our Savior if he like just sits there and we don't work out, so to speak, our relationship, our salvation? He says, use it. Use my qualities. Use my... Draw upon whatever I am when you need it. Okay? It's like a not just for appearance. It's not just good enough to say, I'm a Christian in appearance. That's another thought. I'm a Christian in appearance, and here's the proof. I have my Bible. But where's the use? How are you using your Christianity, your faith? How are you using it in demonstrating our faith, right? Our faith in Christ. Okay? So he also says, honest and worthy. I'm the honest shepherd. I'm the worthy shepherd. Remember, this is the same passage that says that that others abandon the sheep. I won't ever abandon my sheep, he says. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I will never abandon you. I will never abandon you. Okay? Robert, you had a thought?
Well, I was kind of going back there where it says, where you first started to read, where it says, which one is going to... Jim was asking which commandment he should do, and God tells him, you know, you must not testify false at all. And he gives the last one and says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you go back, I can't remember where it's at right now, but God is speaking, and he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. On these two commandments stands all the law.
Right.
So when it says love your neighbor as yourself, that's the part he's talking about giving the money away.
Okay.
Because if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, you don't mind giving it away.
Mm.
So that's where it got into him, where he was not really willing to love his neighbor as himself, or he would have been willing to give up.
Well, it's like we said last week, if you don't treat people right, it's because you don't really love yourself.
Right.
If you treat people, but yeah, that's getting back to, that's
the two commandments he said that everything is written
for. That's where the words of Jesus, that's right. Okay, so we got that about the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful? I'm the good shepherd.
Yeah.
That's John. The book of John is one of my favorite books anyway. Sometimes when I read that, I can just feel myself being right there with Jesus. Let's see how the New Living Translation says this. 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. Amen.
Yes.
Okay, so all these are attributes of God. Let's go to the second page. I don't want to dwell on it so much that I just drive it. I just want you to receive it. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Somebody get that for us. This is talking about goodwill toward men. That's number 2107. Now just get us back on focus here. We're talking about good in the characteristics of God to define who God is, okay? We got it? Okay. Goodwill toward men. That God has a goodwill toward men.
Hallelujah.
All men.
Hallelujah.
Okay? And that word, looking in your notes, there means satisfaction, delight, kindness, good pleasure, and seem good. God has this sense that he wants to satisfy the longing of mankind, right?
Yes.
He delights, his delight is toward mankind, to do us good, to be kind to us, to give us pleasure. Okay, Luke 2:14. Someone read that, please.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
Okay, so we see that God has a goodwill towards men, right? Okay, let's go on to the next one, 3 John, verse 11. Okay, 3 John, verse 11.
Beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God.
Okay, so if you do good, you're of who?
Of God.
You're of God. And that means, right there in your notes, it's number 15, it means he to be a well-doer as a favor or as a duty. Okay, so you might think that, oh, duty, well, that's like a sense like I have an obligation or maybe I'm not doing it for the right reason. No, God wants us to be committed to something. We should be committed to one another. We should be committed to one another as the body of Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. There should be a commitment to one another. All of us should be committed to one another in this room. Mm-hmm. And to the body of Christ, even outside of this room. Okay, so it is a sense of duty in that loyalty. Rachel and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Loyalty seems to be a lost element in the world. Mm. Yes, because I am loyal to God, I am loyal to you. Mm-hmm. Because you are part of my family, mm-hmm. the family of God. Right?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so I'm just going to briefly speak about this. There was two men in this passage, so just go back later and read it. This is a very short, it's only one chapter, y'all. 3 John. But there's two men, I don't know if you could even say it was a chapter, because to be one chapter, it has to be a second chapter. There's not even a second chapter. It just is 3 John. Let's say that, okay? So there's two men in this passage. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but it's talking about loyalty to one another and doing good for one another. There's two men here. If you start in verse 9, John is writing to the church about two men here. One is Diorephes, who loves to be the leader, but refuses to have anything to do with us. Hello? loves to be the leader, but doesn't want to get down and do anything. It's like I've heard it say before. You know, I don't have much use for someone who says they're a prophet if they're not willing to change a baby's diaper in the nursery. Mm-hmm. Or they're not willing to pick up trash mm-hmm. on the floor or clean mm-hmm. the toilet. Mm-hmm. You're not way up here and above everybody else.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So, it says right here, he loves to be a leader but refuses to have anything to do with us. He says, when I come, I will report some of the things he is doing and the evil accusations he is making against us. Now, was he loyal to the body right there?
No,
he was making evil accusations against him. He was hurting the body of Christ. He was hurting the church. Not only does he refuse to welcome traveling preachers, he wasn't hospitable to people coming in wanting to share the gospel. Not only does he refuse to do that, he also tells others not to help them. Mm-hmm. It's just bad enough that he's not generous toward other people coming in to share the gospel, but he even tells other people, now you don't help them either because I'm a leader. And if I tell you not to help them, you don't help them. They're not worthy. Okay, let's keep on going. He also tells others not to help them. And when they do, he puts them out of the church. Okay, that's one person. That's who we don't want to be like. Because John says, when I come, I'm going to correct this. I'm going to take care of it when I come. He is the bad example he's talking about in verse 11. He's the bad example. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. John calls him out. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children. Is this man, Diorephes, is his action proving that he's a child of God?
No,
it's not. I don't care what title he has. His actions prove, you heard those saying, the proof is in the pudding? The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in who you are, what you do.
That's all he has, Sister
Kathy. Ma'am?
That's all he has.
That's all he has?
That's all he has.
Which is that title?
The title.
That's right. And as my husband has said before, that your title, your whatever you get called, whatever you get called, it's not. It's a job description. Mm-hmm. If you don't do the job, then you don't get the title. Mm-hmm. Okay, hello. Yeah. If you need a doctor, you're not going to call an electrician. You're going to call someone who has medical experience. And yes. If you need an electrician, you're not going to call the doctor. He gets to be an electrician because he knows electrical wires, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep on going. Dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children. So we just can't say we're God's children if we don't do good. And those who do evil prove that they do not know God. Now here's another person. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius. Everyone speaks highly of Demetrius as does the truth itself. Did you get that? The truth itself of his life testifies of Demetrius. The truth of his life testifies him. We ourselves can say the same thing for him, and you know we speak the truth. So here's the word here, good, okay? He that doeth good, who is a well-doer, okay, is of God. Doesn't matter how much you say you are of God, if you don't do like God does, you're not of God.
And it says as a favor or a duty.
As a favor or a duty.
So like, I know what my job description is and what I'm supposed to do, so mm-hmm. I do those things that makes me good. But then I see that you need something more extra, mm-hmm. so I'm doing something as a favor. So.
What about that? That's good. That is good. You go beyond what even is required of you, knowing that God is looking at you and God's a rewarder. And that's another verse here, but I don't feel like we're going to have time to finish this today. I feel like we've had a lot to absorb already, and I feel like we need to digest it, so I'm going to stop here. But actually, that's another one of our verses, Denise. But this is what I want you to do, okay? You have an assignment, okay? You have an assignment to take the rest of these verses. Please, because we're not going to be here until a week away. Next week is Christ Central. Please go look up the rest of these verses. Read them. Meditate on them. Jot down your thoughts that you have on this. Okay? And, yes, these other verses here in your notes, okay. Starting at 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Okay. Now, when you get down to Hebrews, I have another error there. Okay, it's not Hebrews 3:16. You'd been confused if you looked that one up too. It's Hebrews 13:16. So please put a 1 in front of that 3 there. Okay, another error. Sorry. And then I want you to answer this question down there. Okay, I want you to answer this. Matthew 19:16-17 records a man, we just studied that, right? Asking Jesus, addressing Jesus as good teacher, and Jesus responded by saying, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Here's a question for you, okay? In light of the biblical definitions of the word good, all these definitions, take all these definitions and meditate on them. In light of that definition, why would Jesus make this statement? In light of all those words, why would Jesus say only God is good? And I gave you 2 verses down there to consider. 2 scripture references and more than 1 verse to consider. So this is kind of what I'd like for us to do. So next week when we come, two weeks to come from now, thank you, ma'am. When we come, we can complete this, have your thoughts together, and then please write out what you think so we can study that out, okay? Blessings in the name of the Lord. Amen. It's been seen.